You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
For many, drinking is an inevitable and enjoyable part of the holiday season, in moderation, of course. Well, here to share some ideas for holiday-inspired cocktails and punches is Alan Katz, owner of the New York Distilling Company. He's also brought a number of selections for us to try, which is always exciting. Welcome back to our show.
Very nice to see you.
Now, New Year's Eve is just around the corner. What kinds of drinks are generally best to serve guests?
Well, you know, you typically think of sparkling cocktails, but, you know, for me, as lovely as champagne and other sparkling wines, and wine in general is, they oftentimes tend to be a little bit acidic. So I like to have one or two glasses of champagne, but start the evening with some cocktails, one in moderation, but two also in moderation of alcohol, so that you can sustain yourself, in other words, throughout the evening.
Because cocktails tend to be higher in alcohol than wine and beer.
Well, they can be boozy, but they don't have to be. And the important thing is that they're well-balanced and flavorful.
Well, the joy of cooking emphasizes that it's important for all cocktails to keep their basic ingredients, meaning liquor, up to 60% of the drink, never below half.
That's great. I love that. Timeless.
That can lead to a lot of intoxication in a very
short
time.
It certainly can. And, you know, it tends to be from the standpoint of having a party, throwing a party, or attending. You might eat finger foods and not quite a whole meal. So it's nice in moderation of alcohol, but also in moderation of size.
Do you like hot drinks during the cold season, toddies and mulled wines?
I love them. I think they're fantastic. And it's a nice way to appropriately, and I emphasize that, appropriately water down alcohol.
Well, is there a seasonal aspect to this?
Well, sure.
In the summer, people tend to drink things that are sours.
Sure. I think they're, you know, sour drinks, to me, can be seasonless. But warm drinks are nice. You come in from the cold, you warm your hands up around a nice glass or mug, and it's soothing. But also, as I said, and importantly, they tend to water the drink down without the guest actually knowing that's the case.
If you're throwing a party, would you recommend making large batches of drinks ahead of time?
Absolutely. Now, hot drinks I would serve individually. You can prep them. We actually have a hot drink here today that I've prepped the ingredients in the glass that it will be served in, but I've kept a thermos separate with scalding water. And if you put that on a self-service bar, you can absolutely get away with batching several, a dozen, two dozen even. And the same would go for punch. And the key with punch, though, is that you want to chill it quite efficiently.
Well, it takes some of the romance out of the shaker part of the presentation. On the other hand, it allows you to spend more time with your guests.
I would tend to agree. You certainly can spend more time with your guests. And as much fun as it is to shake cocktails and serve cocktails, there are nice other ways to throw in a little bit of flair or aplomb, perhaps with a garnish or zesting something fresh over the cocktail. So you're still putting on a show, so to speak.
What do you think makes for a good holiday spiked punch?
Well, you know, it depends on preference of flavor. I love rum or rum and whiskey together. But there are nice ways that you can incorporate other spirits, gin included. You know, some of the trends that are ongoing of more recent years tend to be slightly bitter cocktails. So things with a dash or two of bitters, and now there's a wonderful variety that we can find quite easily in stores, but also a category of spirits called bitters that in small amounts add a little bit of combination of palate cleansing, but also are wonderful for digestive purposes.
You mentioned trends. So things that might have been popular 20 years ago or less likely to be popular today?
Well, in some ways, and sometimes that's good, and sometimes, you know, we want to hearken back to trends. In a certain way, we've, I would say, primarily grown out of a trend of, to be blunt about it, insipidly sweet cocktails. And one, yes, they can be colorful, they can be fruity, but it really prevents you from carrying on from drink to drink to drink the volumes of sugar that used to be included in cocktails.
Well, they were also designed to cover up the alcoholic taste there. Do you think guests should be able to taste the liquor in a drink, or should it be disguised?
Well, I think, you know, I always want to taste the alcohol. One of the trends of certainly the last decade, and not much longer than that, is the accessibility of quality spirits. So we want to taste things that are good.
Now, let's talk about that accessibility of quality spirits. You go to the store and you see a wide range of the same thing. It could begin at $10 and go up to hundreds of dollars. Is it necessary if I'm doing a mixed drink to buy that very expensive tequila?
Well, it depends
vodka?
On the drink. Vodka, by and large, it tends to have similar attributes. Once you get away from vodka, things like gin, we make two gins that are vastly different. And so they would be treated differently in a cocktail. The same would go for rum. It might be unaged or a young rum or something that's significantly aged, 7, 8, 10 years, that's going to have ultimately a drastic contrast.
One of your gins is called Dorothy Parker.
It is.
Why? Because it makes me witty, if I...
Well, I can't guarantee that. In your case, I would assume so, but there are no guarantees. I've been a fan for over 2 decades, personally, and I wanted to name a product after a significant woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that, frankly, she was more of a broad than a lady.
Are there ways to dress up sangria to make it more holiday-themed?
Well, certainly. Sometimes you can use seasonal fruit. In sangria, this time of year, you could also use cider or mulled cranberries, something that truly makes it seasonal afoot, or some types of homemade syrups, maybe a cinnamon syrup or apple syrup that just gives a little bit of a rinse of quality of flavor.
My guest is Alan Katz, owner of the New York Distilling Company, and we're talking about the mixed drinks that you might serve at a holiday party. What about eggnog? Now, you go to the supermarket and you can buy this thing called eggnog.
Sure. You can. That's a simple, quick way to get to a point. But the more fun and fascination is to hearken back to homemade quality, of course. And it's been oft written about, and even of late, you've seen articles about one style of eggnog in particular, the Tom and Jerry, that's just delicious. Is there some labor involved? There absolutely is, but the rewards are commensurate with that labor, I tell you, and it's easy to find recipes now.
Well, people are concerned some that they're kind of heavy, and also there's a lot of cholesterol.
Well, okay, if there's a cholesterol issue, you might want to drink something else, of course. But once a year, I would say for the rest of us, it is worthwhile. And two, it comes back to the point of service size in moderation. So not in a huge mug, but in a small, almost teacup size mug so that you're not over imbibing.
What about non-alcoholic drinks? There are always people who, for one reason or another, don't want to or shouldn't drink.
Sure. Well, it's always important to have those
options. So should you do virgin versions of the drinks that you're serving, or would you just have some sparkling water or maybe a bottle of soda on hand?
Well, I love to have sparkling water, sparkling apple cider, of course, and I love having a variety of fresh juices because, the things about fresh citrus are it really keeps you going. It energizes you, almost pumps in some adrenaline. And so there's not a lot from my experience on the virgin cocktail side, unless you want to create a virgin punch and you can put that pitcher out and label it as such.
Now, as we mentioned, this time of year, we tend toward brown liquors if we're doing these drinks, whiskey in particular. Would different whiskeys be preferable for different kinds of drinks?
Well, it depends. It's interesting. If I show you this glass, you might assume that it has whiskey in it.
Well, it is a nice, rich brown color.
Correct. It has a great amber color. But in fact, I've combined 4 ingredients, 2 of which are dark, but 2 of which are not. And 1, in fact, is gin. So you can mask things in a certain way and give them color, flavor, etc.
Well, you have brought the ingredients for some drinks. Can you tell me what you're going to make? We will post some recipes on our show page at WNYC.org.
Certainly. There are a couple cocktails we serve at the distillery bar, the Shanty. The first is called The Last Waltz and is, in fact, a hot drink ideal for this time of year.
And why The Last Waltz? Some Martin Scorsese connection?
Well, that I wish. We thought it was a great way to end the evening.
Uh-huh.
Strong of flavor, but not too boozy.
So, darling, save the last drink for me.
Correct, exactly. This is a simple combination of 3 ingredients. It has Perry's Tot, our Navy Strength Gin. So very high proof, but only 3/4 of an ounce. It's 57% alcohol, but just a little bit. 1 full ounce of a just splendid sweet vermouth called Carpano Antica Formula, and then 1/4 ounce of dry Curacao. So really only the gin is high proof. from a spiritist standpoint.
Well, when I look at some of these recipes, I think, well, gee, I don't have any Curacao in the house. If I have vermouth, it may not be this rare Carpano Antica formula. Do I have to go out and buy all of those?
Well, I would say you might want to after you taste the drink. So occasionally there are substitutions. From the vermouth standpoint, the Carpano has a wonderful flavor. If you happen to have another sweet vermouth in your refrigerator, by all means, use that sweet vermouth. Curaçao is interesting because it's fortified with brandy, a little bit different than, say, a triple sec, but you could also do that as well.
And then there are recipes that call for Pernod, Averna, Calvados. I don't know how many people have all those things in their house.
Well, we try to keep things fairly simple, but, for the holidays, you may want to invest in a few special ingredients if you want to have one or maybe two signature cocktails for a party.
Okay, should I taste a little bit of
that? That is for you. That's a warm glass.
Am I going to be able to conduct this interview with any kind of reasonableness after I have a sip?
I am certain.
Well, that's really lovely.
Well, so all that I did was combine these few ingredients with hot water in what, from a cocktailian standpoint, we would call a pony glass, but use a 6-ounce juice glass.
Mm-hmm.
And to give it a little bit of flair and a little bit of aromatic texture, I simply garnish it with a cinnamon stick.
Mm-hmm.
And you can think of it as your cocktail stirrer, but it really is just going to add perfume to the cocktail.
And there is just a slight undertone of cinnamon in there.
Correct.
With all those other flavors. Is it important for all these flavors to blend and not wind up saying, hey, I'm here?
I think so. And sometimes a cocktail will evolve either as the temperature changes or perhaps as you continue to drink the cocktail. A cocktail will evolve much more so when it's over ice because the water has certainly a significant effect on the drink.
Do you reserve special glasses for cocktails? In this case, as you said, this is a 6-ounce water glass.
I like simple. Simple is great. For me, most important is size, that it's not too large.
I'm going to try to sneak one other drink in here.
Okay.
Because obviously I'm still lucid.
That's fantastic. Well, we'll try one that's a little bit more complex. And I thought of this almost like a chilled nog. It's a cinnamon and rum cocktail with a little bit of almond syrup or orgeat, fresh citrus, a touch of tequila, and half and half.
Mm.
Wait till you get the aroma of this drink. Let me just give it a quick shake.
Is there an ideal length of shaking time?
Until it's cold. I mean, when you're shaking cocktails regularly, you sort of go by the adage, when your hands feel too cold, then the drink must also be appropriately chilled.
Got to keep that in mind.
I'll give you a little sample here. And for fun, and you could certainly do this as a punch, one of the garnishes would be a little bit of freshly grated nutmeg right over the top of the glass.
And you're giving this to me in a teeny little glass.
Well, I don't know what the rest of your day looks like. This is your sample size for enjoyment and evaluation.
Oh, my. That's really the only problem with it for me would be it's so deceptively tasty that I might go back for 3 or 4 or 5.
Well, I'm again, trying with intention to modify the amount of alcohol.
We're posting these recipes. You do have another drink there, right?
If you'd like. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about punch because of the ease of service.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be an individual way to make a very well-known and classic punch called Planter's Punch. And
put it in a big punch bowl?
Exactly. I mean, this is a long-celebrated cocktail. It's not the most complex, but that's okay. And the idea of punch is that it has spirits, but
it has
also
punch.
Some fruit juice. That is the key, fresh fruit juice. So that you can modify.
Where did the name punch come from?
Well, originally, so it's told, it has Indian origin, so that the word punch or punch referred to the number of ingredients, 5 ingredients, but that
okay.
It included citrus.
While you're pouring that, I'm going to inform my audience that my guest has been Alan Katz, owner of the New York Distilling Company. We've been talking about mixed drinks for your holiday party, and let's party.
Cheers.
Mm. Okay, I'm going to serve that punch. It is a little citrusy, but
okay,
fabulous.
Well, you can modify that as well.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.